Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have gathered ourselves together in this evening hour as we have come here in quietness, unmolested, and able to look into the Word, read it, meditate upon it as we so desire, and that we might worship Thee in this evening hour. And so we look to Thee for a blessing. We call upon Thee to guide and direct the words of truth and life, and that we might be edified and strengthened in our faith as we walk with Thee and as we serve Thee in the ways that we know is necessary and needful to do in our lives. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, this evening hour that You'll encourage us in our faith and our trust in Thee, that it might grow, continue to grow as we look into Thy Word this evening. So bless our being together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to turn this evening to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did not eat, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. In reading in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, where we find this story of the children of Israel being led through the wilderness, and as they were on their way to the promised land, they left Egypt, and of course they were disappointed with the things that were happening. And there was a time when Moses went up into the mountain and he talked with God, and God had given him the Ten Commandments as he wrote them on a tablet on stone. And so he brought them down to bring to the people. And as he came down, he found that they had drifted off into idolatry. As a matter of fact, they came to Aaron and they said to Aaron, let us make a God that would lead us on through the desert here into the through this wilderness. Because this Moses, we don't know what happened to him. And he had been gone for like 40 days, 40 nights, so he would have been gone a while. And so they said, you know, let's just build idols, a god, so that we can have our god, and we can follow this god. And so the story goes, they all pitched in. They had, when they left Egypt, they was given the opportunity to take all that they wanted. They went and they took jewelry and gold and everything they could get their hands on. God gave them that privilege to do this with the Egyptians, and they walked off with a lot of things. And so they had all kind of gold and silver and what have you. And so they compiled this all together, and Aaron decided to make then a golden calf. And so this is what he did. He melted it all down, makes this golden calf, and now they start to burn incense, and they was going to start worshiping this thing when Moses comes on to the scene. And of course, God was absolutely displeased with this. As it mentions even in here, that God was not pleased with many of them then. And so, as a result, Moses had the Ten Commandments, and when he saw what was taking place, he was very upset. And the scripture says he dropped the tablets and broke them, and he just really preached then to the people how they were so wrong and doing what they was doing. And he was really upset, and he literally took the calf, tore it apart, melted it down, got rid of it all. I mean, he was really upset with these people, what they have done. And so this is the story then that the Apostle Paul brings to the Corinthians here, as he remembers and brings their attention to those that were in the wilderness and what the things that they had done. It says that they all were, as it says here, they passed all through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank for that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so, in other words, what he's saying here is they were all well aware of their God. It wasn't like they forgot God. They just disregarded him. They didn't want to worship him anymore. They didn't want to follow Moses anymore. They built their own God, and that was what they were going to worship. And they did. And it was not pleasing to God at all. And we can see then that they was all familiar. That's why he says here, they all drank of the same drink. They followed, and there was, Christ was in on this. I mean, they knew all of this thing, because these are God's chosen people. And they were taught, they hadn't forgot their God until it come to the time when they built this calf, and they decided that no more God, let's worship this God. And so, as it says here, that they were very, or God was very upset and displeased with them. But he says, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And so the Apostle Paul brings this to their attention because he wants them to realize, he says, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And so you see, apparently the Corinthians were in some state of mind or some degree were lusting after things. Typical of people of today, even. People lust after all kinds of things. Whether it's money or power or fame or you name it. They'd lust after it. And so this is the thing that they were doing in the wilderness. And so he says, this is an example for us what not to do. And that story that we read in Exodus was a story for us to know and understand as well, that we don't follow what they did. Because, you know, people can say, oh, well, the Israelite people did it. What's wrong? I can do that too. There's no problem. There's nothing wrong with that. There is something wrong with it. God's not well pleased. We're not well pleased with them. It talks about them. It says, neither be ye idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And this is what took place after they had worshipped this calf and worshipped this as their god. Then they decided to have this big feast. They sat down and they had played. And in other words, they were just totally disobedient to what everything that they had learned about God, and was not happy. God was not happy at all with their thing. And so this then is, he says there, and as he says, and let us not commit, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell one day 23,000. So when it talks about them play, this is what they were doing. And they committed fornication right there amongst them. And it was something that, an example that the Apostle Paul is saying here, don't do, don't do. That was set for us to learn from, to understand that God was not pleased with this kind of a life. We're not to exercise it in any way, shape, or form, whether it's idolatry, whether it's lust of the flesh, whether it's lust after money. It doesn't matter. No, it's a part of this world that we're to sever ourselves away from. And this is what I believe he is saying to us here. And so then, and he even says, then neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of destroyers. And how easy is that we find in today? Grumbling about things, murmuring about stuff. Don't like the way this is going. Don't like the way that's going. Human nature, I guess. It certainly isn't coming from God. But yet we find ourselves following these same kinds of things, even though we're told not to do this. These examples were for us to learn from, not to do. And we find ourselves so easily caught up into this kind of a lifestyle, if you will, if we're not careful, if we're not obedient to God's word. And so he says, now all these things happened unto them for in samples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So you see, this is the reason that we can even read about this here in the book of Exodus. The way they lived and the way they followed after this idol worship and stuff. Totally wrong. And so it was an example for us what not to do. And then he adds to this, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. So you see, when we think we're doing so great, we're doing so good, and we're standing strong in the Lord, be careful. Be careful, because what can happen is we can be found into the same category. And it might start with murmuring. It might start with idol worship. It might start with the things that we lust after. And we get caught up in the things of this life, and the next thing we know, we're wrapped up into it. Life has got a hold of us. We got, and I remember trying to raise a family. I know what it is. You're trying to hold a job. You're trying to provide things for them. And we get so easily wrapped up in this kind of a lifestyle. It can happen. And so he's warning us here, take heed. Take heed. Because when you think you're strong, you may be weak. You could fall. You see, we're no match for Satan, none of us. He's there, and he will destroy us in any way he can. But the only way that he can destroy us is when we follow and obey his lusts, his suggestions, and his temptations that he tempts us with. That's how we fall away. That's how we become weak and fall, get from our steadfastness. And so he goes on to say then, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So you see, this is a good promise for us. And this is a good one to remember, because when we're faced with temptation, remember, this is nothing new. It might be new to you, but it's nothing new on the face of this earth. Many have perhaps suffered and faced the same kind of temptation. And so, as he says here, there's no temptation taken, such is common to man. But he says, God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So the key thing is here, that when we find ourselves tempted with this, and it seems like it's so overbearing on us, the key is to look for the escape route, if you will. What if that might be? It could be you might have thought of a song that came to your mind. It might have been a word that you just read in the morning. It might be something you heard in a sermon. It might be something your friend had told you concerning the scriptures. You know, look for that escape route and focus your mind on that and get yourself off of that and look for that route of escape. And that will help you overcome. And God will see to it that it's not so bad, so strong, that you can't handle it. He will give you the strength. But he also expects us to find that escape route to get out of this and not to fall into these temptations. And this is why he says here that, but will with temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear. And wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. When we think of idolatry, we think of those people coming from Egypt and crossing the desert. We think of them in that idol worship, and they made this. This is not. We don't find that today. There are a whole lot of other things that you and I can find ourselves in idol worship, and we're well aware of this. You've heard it time and time again from this pulpit about being idol worshipers. Covetousness, one, is idol worship. Coveting things that we don't have and we want that someone else has. Well, however the covetousness might come in our lives, it might be a strong temptation. Maybe not everybody has that. But those of us that do, we have to, again, look for that escape route to know where to turn. And that is put our trust in God. Call upon him when we face these trials and these temptations. We must call upon him. Rely on him. And if we get into the habit of trusting in him and relying on him for every little thing in our lives, even like the song that we sang here, even the smallest thing that we do, God knows. Let that help build your experience. Let that help build your faith in God. Because you've learned to trust him. You've learned to obey and be a witness and a testimony for him. All of these things contribute to our steadfastness, if you will. And when we find ourselves lax in these areas, it ain't going to take long. You will fall from your steadfastness. That's without a doubt. It's happened to too many times. You can read in the latter chapters of Timothy where the Apostle Paul writes, and he talks about those that have left him. And he stood all alone. There were some that went off to because they loved the world more than what they're serving God, and numerous reasons why they had left and why they didn't follow through. That's because standing strong in the Lord, serving him day in and day out, year after year after year. It takes faith, it takes trust in him, it takes experience. But it can be done. But only through obedience in the word, only through devoting yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the way we get through life. That's what helps us overcome these trials and these temptations. That's the escape route that he's talking about here. And he will make sure that it's there. But if we don't look for it, and we're just so wrapped up in the temptation, and oh my goodness, this is just too much for me, I can't handle it. Maybe you can't, but maybe you haven't looked for the escape route. Maybe that's why you don't think it's too much for you. No. If you put your trust in the Lord, call upon him when these trials and these temptations come upon us, he will see us through. I know, I've been there, done that. I experienced it numbers of times. So I know what it is to fall into temptation and find the escape route. And it always is that way. You can just divert your mind away from your problem, your trial, your whatever it is. Just don't think about it anymore. You see, it all is controlled in the mind and in the thoughts that we have many times. Usually that's where it all starts and where it all ends. How we control our mind, what we think about. And usually the things that we think about, if we're not careful, we'll end up doing them. You know, it's so easy to think evil things. How easy is that? And we think nothing of it. Well, that's just me. That's just the way God made me. No. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans and he said, renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. And he said, think on these things. Is there any truth? Is there anything good? Whatever it might be, you see, you got to train yourself. You got to turn your thoughts and your attitude and everything sometimes completely away from what the trial and the tribulation might be. Is it easy? Not always. But it is easy if you put your trust and your care in the Lord and let him take care of it. Allow him to guide you and direct you. Then it becomes easy. That's why he said, cast your burdens on me. He will carry them. He said, my burden is light. My way is easy. That's Christ. That's why he taught that. That's why he wants us. That's our way of escape. Look to him. Call upon him. Trust in him. And put our cares and our concerns in his care and keeping. And he will see us through. So you see, as he says here, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. So he says, he's considering us, if we will look at this, look for the way of escape, not allow the temptation to overcome us, we will be wise men. And that's what he's saying. I'm speaking to wise men. He had the confidence and the faith in them that they would do this. They would look for the escape route. They would not get into idolatry. They would not murmur. They would not, all of these things that it talks about here. And so he calls us wise men, and we are wise if we're able to control our thoughts, where we find ourselves, where we go, what things that we do, things that we say. But it's all a matter of controlling and let the leading of the Lord control your life. He goes on to talks about many things here of how in the rest of this chapter that how we should not be partakers of the things of this world, and as he talks about the. Sacrifices and eating and drinking things that are of a feast that, as he mentions here, that might be towards a sacrilege or might be an idol worship some way. He's telling us to steer clear of this. And then finally he says, give none of offense, neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. And so when we find ourselves serving the Lord, then is when we will be a witness, a testimony for God, a light on the hill that men will see our good works and glorify our Heavenly Father. But we must sever ourselves from the cares and the concerns of this world that so easily beset us. May God bless these words upon our hearts as we contemplate what God has spoken to us tonight. Amen.
Aren't we just so thankful for the Word? The Word gives us instruction, gives us commandments, gives us direction. And then, not only that, then it gives us examples as well. And here is a chapter here that gave us a very good example of what not to follow. We have examples of what to follow, and then we have examples of what not to follow. And here, the Apostle Paul was making not only those of Corinth, but for us as well tonight, to remind us of what not to follow and to have this example brought again to our remembrance and to be reminded of what the Israelites did and how they fell. And so it is that that here the Apostle Paul is bringing forth some very dire things that the children of Israel did while they were in the wilderness. They were idolaters. They committed fornication. They were tempting Christ. And along with those very grievous sins, he says, and don't murmur like they did. And we might think that, well, that comes pretty naturally. We tend to kind of complain sometimes. That's very easy to do. But he's saying that this is as grievous as idolatry and as committing fornication, to murmur. And they were destroyed, those that were murmuring. And so he's saying, don't follow that example. And then he continues on and says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so it is in our lives. We live our daily lives and we go through our routines, and it is so easy for us to find the faults in other things, isn't it? We can pick out exactly what's wrong and we can complain about it. We can justify why we don't like this or that. We are so good. It comes easy. It comes naturally. This is wrong. I don't like this. And murmur and complain. And the Bible says, take heed. You're being a murmurer and you're going to be destroyed, just like those idolaters were destroyed, just like those fornicators were destroyed. The murmurers are destroyed as well. And so he's saying, take heed. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So when we're murmuring and when we're complaining and saying, this is no good and that's no good, in a sense we're thinking, well, I'm standing. I'm good, but that's not good. And the Bible here is saying, take heed lest you also fall. And so we are to have thankful hearts and see the good that what God has given unto us, and we ought not to murmur or to complain. And then I'm very thankful how this verse comes into play about there's temptations that come our way, but God is faithful, and he won't be tempting us more than that which we would be able to bear, and will allow for us to have a way of escape as we go through these temptations. And I really appreciate how Brother Bob brought in that, which is what we think about, that is likely what we're going to do. And so we guard our minds, because that's where it all begins. We've heard that expression before, that what we think about is what we say, and what we say is what we do, and what we do becomes a habit, and what becomes a habit becomes a character, and what becomes a character then becomes a destiny. And so it all begins with the mind. What do we think about? If we think about those things that the Israelites did and they lusted, we will come to destruction. But if we, by God's grace, think upon those things, as Brother Bob mentioned there in Philippians 4:8, where it says, think about those things which are true and honest, just, lovely, pure, and of good report. To think about these things. Because God has given unto us all these good things, these examples to follow in good, with Jesus Christ being that ultimate example. And so we ought to have these things on our minds and to have his word renewed within our mind. And I really appreciated all the things that were brought out there of a verse or of a song or of a sermon or of a thought that a friend shared with us that's building up and edifying. These are all good things, and that we should think upon these things and grow in them. And so, the message this evening hour, there are examples in the Bible, examples of what not to follow and examples to follow. And it all begins with the mind. And the Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. Amen.